Bye-bye.
No, it's bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Terry Gary with you until 9 o'clock. Shay Spillane sitting in traffic on her way into the station. She will be here before long. She decided to drive in from Revere. And those of you who know this area know that driving in from Revere, if you want to be in Medford at 7, you want to leave Revere at 3 in the afternoon. And Shay left at 4. So she'll be here shortly. Coming up tonight, we're going to talk about the election results. Yes, we did that voting thing yesterday. Hopefully you got out there and voted. I know I did. We're also going to be talking about the radicalization of America. The self-radicalization of America via social media. And this is a thing that is going on. This is a thing that you may be doing without even realizing that you're doing it. Algorithms are controlling our lives in social media, and it is not necessarily a good or healthy thing for debate and discussion in the United States of America. So stick around for that. Don't forget, On the Tell, Mikey D coming your way at 9 o'clock tonight. I woke up this morning. America was still here. We have survived another election season, another round of inevitable campaign ads and nonsense and bipartisan debates and partisan screaming and all of the fun that goes along with election season. And boy, am I glad it's over. I always look forward to the end of a campaign cycle because we don't have to watch those commercials anymore. And we don't have to listen to all the pundits go on and on and on about, this is what this means, and this is what that means, and this is what the other thing means. Nope, now we're down to me talking about what it really means tonight. And then we move on and we get on with the rest of our lives until January when we enter the presidential election cycle. So let's enjoy the next 6 weeks while we can and get caught up on what happened yesterday. We'll start here in Massachusetts, where really there weren't too many surprises. Governor Baker gets to keep his job. Nobody's surprised by that. Attorney General Mara Healey gets to keep her job. State Treasurer Deb Goldberg gets to keep her job. Secretary of State Michael Galvin, maybe there was a challenge there. Didn't really seem to be a very strong challenge. He gets to keep his job. Elizabeth Warren will be going back to Washington, or at least making a pit stop on her way toward running for president of the United States. A helpful reminder to anyone who may need services from the federal government, please call Ed Markey's office. Do not call the Warren office. She's busy running for president and won't be able to help you. Please call Ed Markey's office. So locally, you know, not a heck of a lot of surprises. It's Massachusetts. The incumbents win. And surprise, surprise, the incumbents won once again. In some of the other local races, those right around our WMFO listening era, Catherine Clark will be going back to Washington, D.C. Seth Moulton will be going back to Washington, D.C. There was one more locally that I was looking at. Nope, just those two, Catherine Clark and Seth Moulton. Former Somerville Mayor Mike Capuano, however, will not be going back to Washington, D.C., having been defeated in the primaries with no Republican challenger, by former Boston City Councilor Ayanna Pressley. So she will be going to Washington, D.C. to represent part of this area. Interesting thing that I discovered in looking all of this up. Joe Curtatone and I were born on the same day, 3 years apart. So we share a birthday. That's it. We share nothing else. So the Democrats won the House. We know this. The Republicans gained seats in the Senate. And all through this past year, we have been talking about the blue wave. There was going to be this blue wave. The blue wave was coming to wash the Trump administration and the Republicans out of Washington, D.C. And way, way, way back at the start of this year, I made the point that this blue wave talk was a little bit of nonsense because historically, whichever party is in power in the White House loses the House and the Senate. That's what happens. That's who we are as Americans. All the way back to our founding as a nation, our earliest days of presidential elections and congressional elections, we came to the conclusion as a people that we do not like the idea of one party holding the executive branch and the legislative branch. We just don't like it. We like to have, Massachusetts is a good example of this. This is one of the bluest states in the country. We vote Democrat whether we want to or not. We vote Democrat without thinking about it. If you want to win an election in Massachusetts, you put a D next to your name and you're good. You're in. You're golden. With one exception. We like our Republican governors because we don't like to have, we mirror the rest of the country in this way. We don't like to have one party calling all of the shots. So, of course, there was going to be a blue wave. Of course, there was going to be Democrat control of the House of Representatives. But where last night gets interesting and where these election results get interesting is that the Republicans, bucking history, gained the number of seats they have in the House. In the Senate. They have three more seats in the Senate today than they had yesterday. And there are potentially two more. There's going to be a runoff race in Mississippi. And there's another race that's too close to call. So the Republicans gained seats in the Senate. And the Democrats won the House. How unprecedented is this? Well, in the 100-plus years that we have had direct election of our Congress in the United States, this has only happened 5 times. Where the party in the White House has actually gained seats in a house in Congress. The last time it happened was when John F. Kennedy was president. So for all this talk about a blue wave, there really wasn't a blue wave. And there are a lot of Americans who are pretty okay with whatever it is that the Republicans are doing. They may not like Donald Trump. They may not like all of his policies. But they like the general condition of the United States economy. They see more jobs, they see more money in their paychecks, and they're pretty happy about it. There was also a large number of Republican seats up for grabs in deeply red states this time around, which helped. There was also some blowback because of what happened during the Kavanaugh nomination. Claire McCaskill is an example of someone who lost her job because a Republican ran against her. She voted against Kavanaugh, and her state basically said, nope, we've had enough of you. So where we see the gains, where we see the blues coming in, tends to be in only a couple of parts of the country. And this is an interesting aspect of what happened last night and something that really isn't getting a lot of national headlines. I don't think as many as it should be. The blue wave, if you will, really comes down to 3 states. It comes down to Pennsylvania, it comes down to Texas, and it comes down to California. Now, California, we know, is going to vote Democrat. It depends on which part of the state you're talking about. There are some parts of Northern California and rural California that still remain Republican strongholds. But California, as the years have gone by, has become more and more and more dominated by the Democrats. So it is not a surprise. Hillary Clinton carried California by 3 million votes in the 2016 election. It is not a surprise that they are going to send more people to the U.S. House of Representatives. Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, sent a number of, flipped a number of seats. And Houston, Texas flipped a number of seats. And the thing about the Houston area is that the Houston area, the city, has been getting progressively more Democratic, while the outskirts, the rest of Texas, still remains solidly red. So for Democrats, you are now in this situation where you can control sections of Texas, you can control sections of Pennsylvania, but you don't yet have enough votes to get the state as a whole. One of the biggest defeats last night was Beto O'Rourke, who was running against Ted Cruz, a former presidential candidate. We all know who Ted Cruz is. He's that annoying little guy from Texas. Well, the annoying little guy from Texas won re-election. And he won re-election despite the fact that Beto O'Rourke set a fundraising record in that campaign, pulling in $60 million. He had President Obama campaigning for him. He had Hollywood support. He had all these people talking about him across the nation. They're still talking about Beto O'Rourke as if he's going to be the next presidential candidate for the Democrats, even though I don't think this guy had ever served in office before he decided to run for Senate. And you can correct me if I'm wrong about that. My backstory on Beto O'Rourke is not as deep as it probably should be. But this isn't a guy who's been a governor. This isn't a guy who's been a senator. This isn't a guy who's been high profile. He's a guy that kind of came out of nowhere, captured a lot of Democrat interest, and mounted a fairly good campaign against Ted Cruz. So why does he lose? There are a couple of possible ways that you can look at this. One is one of his campaign promises was that he was going to impeach Donald Trump, that he was going to move to impeach the president. And the one thing that independent voters have very consistently said, and very consistently said in the exit polls yesterday, is we are not sending Democrats to Washington, D.C. to impeach the president. If you say you are going to impeach the president, we are against you. That may have cost him. The other thing that may have cost him, in a state like Texas, which is pretty fiercely proud of its history and pretty fiercely independent. It's a Republican state, but Texas is all about freedom, personal freedom. You know, I got my guns and I got my trucks and I got my oil. It's Texas. Texas is the greatest state in America. You know, Texas has a very definite sense of identity as a state. And one of the things that we've seen happen in a number of recent elections, in a number of recent races, is that we've seen all this outside money comes flying in from all over the place. And it's part of the reason Elizabeth Warren gets as much backing as she does. And it's part of the reason that Beto got as much backing as he did. It's part of the reason Gillum got as much backing as he did in Florida. We'll get to that race in a second. In most states, you can get away with it. In a lot of states, you can get away with it and nobody cares. Everybody's just sort of like, yeah, whatever, you know, is it a good candidate? Is it a bad candidate? Texas may be an exception to this. Texas may be one of those cases where people are sitting around saying, we don't like all of this Hollywood money coming in here. We don't like outsiders telling us who we're going to elect for the Senate. And I've had a real, and I support anybody who voted for Ted Cruz based solely on that. You have my full blessing because I think the out-of-state money in local politics is a massive, massive problem in this country and something that we need to put a stop to. So if Texas actually drew the line and said, you know what, you, Beto O'Rourke, you can take your Hollywood money and you can take your I'm going to impeach Donald Trump and you can take a hike. We're going to send Ted Cruz. We're going to send Lion Ted Cruz back. I support that because the only way that we're going to get to any kind of meaningful campaign finance reform in this country is if voters start rejecting this outside money and start rejecting these outside influences. They'll find other ways of financing candidates and taking part in their shenanigans. But I think there's a real question that needs to be asked there. Everybody's sitting around, you know, all the armchair quarterbacks are sitting around this morning looking at the Beto O'Rourke Ted Cruz race and saying, well, you know, maybe it just wasn't meant to be. Maybe work didn't run hard enough. You know, it's just Texas is one of the excuses that's been put out there. No one has asked the question, which I think is the critical question in this case. No one has asked the question, did that outside money turn off Texas voters? And I guarantee you there are cases where it did. Were there enough people turned off by it to swing the results of the election? That's the question. This is where some smart enterprising company like Pew or Emerson needs to go out and do a poll and say, were you upset about the outside money coming in to support Beto O'Rourke? And if you find out that 40% of the population was, then yes, you can make that clear connection. Right now, we don't know. But as I look at it, having been involved in political campaigns in the past, knowing that this is an issue for a lot of voters, knowing Texas a bit, that's Shea Spillane laughing in the background. We're letting her catch her breath.
Yes, I literally sprinted here. By the way, I believe I'm the first person in the history of Massachusetts to think it's a good idea to go to Revere.
Yeah, no. We all figured that out a long time ago.
I know, I'm late on the game, D.
But the question becomes, did that outside money turn off the Texas voter and turn the Texas voter against Beto O'Rourke?
She
hasn't thought about that aspect of it. She's like, what?
Still, I literally, folks, I'm so sorry I'm late. I hit traffic. I went to my friend's house in Revere to use her internet, and what was GPSed at 20 minutes turned out to be 50. But and I have laryngitis. I am just killing it tonight.
What? Oh, man.
Yeah, super fun. But hey, I came. What I think is that just given the political spectrum of the last couple years, everybody is just very much kind of throwing their hands in the air and trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. Like everyone, like it's kind of, a lot of people are don't get me wrong, a lot of people are still staunchly what they were to begin with. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that are looking at our system right now being like, well, all of this is so weird. Maybe I should shake it up, mix things up. Like it's as much as I'm sure you reckon, you and our listeners recognize, I kind of hate our political system.
Yes, but you need to stop doing that because it's the only one we have.
Oh, yes, but I hate that I'm late because I didn't get to tell you what happened yesterday.
We'll get to this. We'll get to this in a minute.
But no, my point being that the one lovely thing about our political system is that you can turn your view at the flip of a coin. I mean, my parents growing up, my parents were both registered Republicans, and neither of them are such now.
Well, it's, yeah, people who were Republicans back in the day probably aren't now because the Republicans weren't crazy right like that back in the day.
Well, you know, and because Ronald Reagan's dead. I mean, what's the point anymore?
Well, there's Ronald Reagan is the exact moment that turns, and that's a good topic for another day about how how we got the Republican Party to where it is right now. Does have a lot to do with Ronald Reagan and does have a lot to do with the air traffic strike.
Yes, definitely.
But story for another day. Speaking of shake it off, Tennessee, Taylor Swift endorsed Phil Bredesen for Senate. Mm. And around about the same time that she endorsed Phil Bredesen for Senate, Marsha Blackburn started gaining in the polls. And Marsha Blackburn won the Senate race. So here's
the conclusion being everyone hates Taylor Swift.
Well, I mean, Taylor Swift I would assume a favorite daughter of Tennessee. You know, she's from there. I assume they like her, but again, here is Hollywood celebrity coming in and telling me who I should vote for.
Yeah.
And I think the voters are catching on and the voters are like, we've had enough of this.
Well, and I mean, it's, just the same as the way a lot of people in Boston feel about Matt Damon or Ben Affleck, where it's like, yeah, you're from Boston, but the minute you made money, you left.
Yeah.
Like, I feel, I mean, obviously I can't speak for the people of Tennessee, but I feel that perhaps it's a similar situation where it's like, hey, rich blonde girl that lives wherever everyone's putting her up, like, you're not the person. And I mean, that's how Trump got elected, was, ironically, was painting himself as an everyman, painting himself as I could just as easily live here in Skiddly Doobop, Mississippi, you know, like, and having celebrities from a hometown, like, people from small towns like having the person who's successful from that small town stay there.
Yeah. You carry more weight if you do that.
Yeah. Like, no one even knows where Miley Cyrus is from anymore. You know, I think she's from Tennessee. But
I thought they were Texas. I thought the Cyruses were Texas.
No, they're not from Texas. Oh, they're from mid-south, central time zone, or maybe eastern. But that's the thing, is that it's gotten to the point where, unless it's for a specific political issue, celebrity endorsements can actually almost hurt you, especially in the case of electing a local official, like electing someone to represent your district. It's a double-edged sword, if you will.
Yeah.
And again, I apologize to our listeners that I have, both for being late and that I have laryngitis. I did too many shows in too many days. And if you could Uber Eats some green tea with honey over to WMFO 91.5.
Not going to happen. Green tea and honey, not allowed in the studio. Not allowed in the studio. So, while we've got a second, let's do this. Let's get you. Well, your anything surprise you in the Massachusetts election results?
Not really. I mean,
you get that I next to your name, you win. That's pretty much it's pretty much how it goes.
I was gonna say that's the thing, is that it was like predictable, let's put it that way.
But the thing is, I'm standing there in the voting place yesterday, and I'm looking at the ballot, and I'm looking at the names on the ballot, and I'm like, you know, Baker's doing a good job, not a problem. Mara Healey's doing a good job, not a problem. I don't know what our state treasurer has done, but there haven't been any scandals coming out of there for the last couple of years. So I'm like, all right, she gets my vote. Suzanne Bump, state auditor, has been doing a fantastic job. Every now and again, we talk about something else great that Suzanne Bump has done, and she has more than earned her keep as a public employee in this state. So yeah, I'll keep reelecting her all day long. And Michael Galvin's just a lovable goof. You know, I see Michael Galvin on TV and I'm like, oh, I like this guy. You know, it's like Michael Galvin is a guy you could like sit down and watch a football game with and have a couple of beers and you know what, it'd be a great time.
That's the funny thing, is that it's so strange to think about what gets a person elected, because so many people act very, very entrenched in the issues and what is this person going to do for me? But at the end of the day, a lot of times people vote for the person they most like to sit and have a beer with. Like, that's just the way it is. And I love that...
Or Bill Galvin, I should say. And not Michael, Bill Galvin.
I love that the New York Times called us one of the bluest states in the country.
Yeah, well, I other than the governor, we got no Republicans anywhere.
Well, that's why the New York Times wrote an entire article just focusing on that.
I think there is a state law, by the way, that one of the top positions in our government must be held by a Galvin, because there's been a Galvin in there for somewhere in this state for about as long as I've been alive. And it's like, I like Bill Galvin. He's doing, the guy's doing it. Okay, I don't know if our voting equipment is up to date or not. I know it works where I go to cast my ballots. And I know that the rest of the state seems to be running pretty well. So I'm like, I'm not inclined to vote anybody else in. Disappointed that Elizabeth Warren got reelected because she clearly has no intention of doing the job.
I can't stand her.
Even if I could stand her, she has no intention of doing the job.
Well, she's one of those people that, or one of those officials, elected officials, I should say, that just wants to walk the walk and talk the talk, but isn't actually. She's like, oh, aren't I such a wonderful representative of what women should strive to be?
Yeah.
Without actually giving us something to strive for. I always think about Theodore Roosevelt, one of my favorite quotes of all time, both politically and in general, is Theodore Roosevelt saying, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Which translated means don't talk a big talk, walk a big walk.
Yeah.
Show me what you can do. As my father, I remember.
This, by the way, is why Markey has been like in Washington, D.C., I think for all of my life, or certainly all of my adult life, is because Markey just goes down there and gets stuff done.
Yeah. Which is what our elected officials are supposed to do.
And by the way, we used to give Markey a lot of crap around here for never coming to the district. And since he made it to the Senate, he does show up in the district every now and again, or show up in the state every now and again, more than he used to. But even when we were giving him guff for that, you couldn't argue that the guy was effective, and you couldn't argue that the guy was actually doing something yes. down there.
Well, and my father taught me, as our listeners know, both my father and sister are lawyers, so I know way more about the legal profession than I prefer to. But my father taught me this Latin term that is a legal term, but actually applies to life, which is res ipsa loquitur. And the literal translation is the thing speaks for itself.
Yes.
And my father, I remember my father told me that. He said it for like, don't tell me you're going to do something. Be quiet and then do it and let me watch.
Yeah.
But that, I feel that is what every politician, every political figure in our country should be thinking about, which is, okay, like you talk a big talk, adorable, but do something about it. Like I'd prefer that I don't hear from you until I'm passing this law that is going to make your lives better. I am fighting this law that is going, or I'm sorry, this bill that is going to make your lives worse. Like, it's adorable to say, oh, I'm going to cut taxes. I'm going to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. But at the end of the day, it's action that makes me proud to have voted for somebody. It's not them sprinkling walnuts and cherries on top of things.
And I can understand why Deal doesn't win in Massachusetts, because this is the last state in the union that is going to send a pro-Trump senator down to Washington, D.C. and listen, I've met Deal. I've spoken to him at length. And I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good politician. I think he's got great leadership skills. But as much as I voted for him, not because I was on board with everything he was going to do. I voted for him because I knew he'd be down there for 6 years. And that meant something to me. Mm. You know, because the reality is we're going to have one senator, and we're going to have a damn good senator.
Yeah.
Ed Markey's great, but we're only going to have one senator for the next couple of years because Warren's hitting the campaign trail, and you can forget her. And
she's so annoying.
The best case scenario is she gets knocked out of the primaries early, and then we get our second senator back. But who knows?
Well, it's funny. I was speaking to somebody the other day about how I don't like Elizabeth Warren, and she called me anti-feminist.
Yeah. You're a bad woman, Shay.
For not liking Elizabeth Warren. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm not anti-feminist. I'm anti-dum-dum.
Yeah.
Like, if there is a woman who can, and there have been plenty, like, I would sooner...
What has Elizabeth Warren done for women?
Precisely. That's the thing, is the only thing she's done for a woman is being a woman who has gotten elected.
Yeah.
Like, that is it. She has not done anything else. And I remember there was a time that I was at Tavern at the End of the World, one of our favorite bars, and this dummy female comedian who shall remain nameless. You know, when I say that, I mean one of three people.
Named after a country.
No, named after a crappy, crappy South Asian restaurant. But Elizabeth Warren was making a speech on the TV, and she's standing there looking at her so intently and nodding.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at her like, you're such a dum-dum. She is not saying anything right now. She's literally, nothing she is saying has any substance whatsoever. She's just being like, hey, you're a girl and you need a woman to look up to. Look up to Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah.
Like, look up to Susan B. Anthony. Look up to Madonna, for Christ's sake.
Elizabeth Dole. She's a good role model.
Yeah, look up to someone who's actually freaking done something.
Look up to Hillary. I mean,
I'm gonna say, that's the thing, is
Hillary has accomplished.
I don't like Hillary Clinton as a human being, but I respect the hell out of her because she's actually done something.
Yeah.
She actually has something that you can look at her and point and say, yeah, you are a good role model for young women.
Beyond
the fact that you're on television with a microphone.
If you take the corruption out of it, yes.
Benghazi. You take the corruption out of it. Her husband banged an intern while he was in office. Come on.
I was referring to the Clinton Foundation and the pay for play in the State Department, but that's another story entirely.
By the way, I just interject. You know, I didn't get to vote yesterday,
we're
right?
Gonna get to this.
Okay,
so two things. Number one, WMFO Medford, we have to say that
91.5 FM
Democrats are in the House now, and that may make the FCC
855.
Yes, 855-915-9636 is the phone number. 855-915-WMFO. Number two, your boy, former President Barry Obama's,
oh, my handsome friend,
didn't do anyone any favors with the campaignings this election cycle. Nobody that he backed won.
To be frank, first of all, the fact that he even got involved, given our current political climate, is
wrong. But go on.
Shut up. But it's remarkable. And also, I mean, my cousin the other day yesterday, you know that like day where people were voting? My cousin yesterday stood outside of his polling place saying, dump Trump, vote Dem. He held a big sign and screamed that for 3 hours. But
that would have served a better purpose in a different state.
Yes.
Does your cousin realize that? This is Massachusetts.
That's what I told him. I was like, why aren't you going to Texas and doing this?
Yeah.
No, he was in Connecticut, but...
the Republicans won big in Connecticut last night.
I was going to say, like, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. No, Republicans won the governor's race, and they had a good run in Connecticut last night.
But the thing is, God, I hate saying nice things about Trump, but the problem is that... you know, the majority of Americans are not really politically informed and kind of go with their gut based on things that get tossed into their ears as election season comes up. And while I truly, are we allowed to say we hate the president? Am I going to get it? While I have a true distaste for our president, the economy's up, unemployment's down. There's lots of things that people who don't pay as close attention as you and myself do to politics see as, oh, this seems pretty good.
Listen, you can hate the president. You can dislike Donald Trump personally. You can dislike everything the guy stands for. The reality is the last 2 years kind of turned things around and been pretty good for a lot of Americans.
Yeah, and that's, and I mean, and it's, trust me, this is like the most, I feel like I am inhaling crow right now talking about this. And I still maintain that the financial end of our government is not the most important part, kids, or at least not the only part. So I still stand by the fact that I do not think that he is a good president. That being said, people who are not super politically inclined look at those numbers and think, huh, well, I guess we should just all vote Republican because this seems to be working.
Right.
And at the end of the day, most people just sit there and think, are my bills higher or lower? Like, the money rules all of our lives, whether we'd like it to or not. And trust me, I'd prefer it did not. But as a result, I think that, I mean, a lot of people are trying to get everyone to vote Democrat. And there was, while there was an overwhelming, I mean, the House has absolutely shifted. But nonetheless, it's just, if you don't really know, and, you know, so often people vote with their gut. If you don't really know, you look at the numbers and you say, yeah, Republicans going to get this done because look at the past 2 years.
Well, the fact that the Republicans stayed in control of the Senate is historic.
I know.
It is historic. And but it says that for a lot of people in America, and somebody brought this point up, and I think this was one of the campaign officials down in Florida said, you know, we hit all our targets on getting the vote out for our Democratic candidates. The problem is the Republicans showed up in unprecedented numbers and voted against us. And that's how we get to this point that we're at. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, yes, the Democrats took control of the House of Representatives, but they primarily did it in three areas. They did it in Eastern Pennsylvania, they did it in Houston, and they did it in California. The rest of the country still, if you were red before yesterday, you're still red today. If you were blue before yesterday, you're a little bit bluer today.
Well, and that's what's so interesting about our election process is it's very similar to when in 2008, when Obama was running for his first term, the amount of black voters that came out was groundbreaking, like record breaking. And that is the very interesting thing about our political system is that everyone over the age of 18 who is an American citizen has the right to vote, but not the obligation. Plenty of people just, you know, go get, I always think of, what's that movie with Meg Ryan? You've Got Mail. She talks to her boyfriend about, I didn't vote the midterm election last year. I got a manicure and forgot to vote.
Yeah.
And that's what's so interesting, though, is that, I mean, as things go on in our country, it either brings out or keeps in a certain variety of voters.
And personally, I like it when more people vote. I think we're better
off
when more people vote.
I mean, that's the point.
I don't care how you vote. I just want to see more people vote.
I just want to see people, yeah.
You know?
That's why it was, again, you said we'll get to it later, but that's what's so frustrating, not being able to vote yesterday.
We'll get to it in a minute. So let me get through a couple of things here. at the local level, we have the ballot questions. Question three passed, which means perverts are now free to run wild through our public bathrooms.
As they should.
Yes. So it's we have legalized perversion in our public bathrooms. And if you think that's what that question was about, I can't help you. Okay? I really can't help you. If you bought into that line of thinking at all, I didn't actually look up how much it passed by.
I had to close my laptop last night for that exact reason. Because looking at people's reactions to that, I was like, just shut up.
Yeah.
Like, are they in any way impeding your ability to live your life as you want
to? Yes, because they're perverts in there, being pervert people, doing pervert things. They're in there to molest the children. That's what we were told.
Bunch of dummies.
Yeah, so, okay, is this just for question three? It looks like it is. 32% of people in Massachusetts voted against question three. 32% of you, 56,000 people voted for an avowed Nazi for Senate in Illinois, in Chicago.
And almost one third of our population.
843,000 Massachusetts residents bought the pervert argument and decided they were going to vote no on three. Come on, guys. Come on.
It is 2018.
Even if you were a Republican, I can't understand how you would fall for this ridiculous argument that giving your fellow American more freedom is somehow going to fill our bathrooms with perverts.
Giving your fellow American more freedom, you mean what our nation is founded on?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'll always remember. My mom gets super freaked out by this because I didn't know at the time, but the song is about smoking pot. But I told my mom that I found my favorite song lyric of all time. And it's from the Ben Harper song, Burn One Down. Which I can't believe I didn't. I was a Republican Catholic. What do I know?
Yeah.
But there's a line in there where he said, my choice is what I choose to do, and if I'm causing no harm, it shouldn't bother you. Your choice is who you choose to be, and if you're causing no harm, then you're all right with me.
Nice.
And that's why I love that song. And my mom was like, are you telling me that you've smoked pot? And I was like, what's pot? if I could just see myself 10 years later. But I think that quote very much encapsulates why anyone who's opposed to this is a dummy, because ultimately, as long as, and I know that prejudice and or very diluted prejudice exists, as long as someone's not causing harm to you or those you care about, what do you care?
Exactly.
Like, that's why the shooting that occurred at the synagogue, like, I was raised more Catholic than most people I know.
You know who's really...
It doesn't bother me that people are Jewish. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to hate them, theoretically, but, like, it doesn't bother me that people are Jewish. It doesn't bother me that people are Muslim. It doesn't bother me that people are atheists.
You know who's really upset about question three passing? Is the heterosexual perverts, because now they have competition in the public bathroom that they didn't have a couple days ago. Question two passed.
Nailhead.
Question two passed. I don't know what the voters are thinking on this. This is stupid. This committee is going to amount to nothing. This is a backdoor way to try and harm small business in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And once the committee is impaneled and starts doing things, people are going to figure that out and shut it down. So, you know, whatever. My only problem with question two is that taxpayer money is going to be wasted on this nonsense. That's it.
Question two is basically a bunch of politically or pseudo-politically minded people who are bored and want something to do.
No, question two is really the progressive left in this state being like, hey, let's get rid of corporate rights. Let's take away the rights of corporations. Yeah, that's a good idea, because then no one will ever start a small business again, because they don't get it. They're dum-dums.
Oh, wait. You mean the foundation of our country?
Yeah. I will proudly admit to being part of the 28.6% that voted no on that measure.
Get it?
Because I would like to see our tax dollars used worthwhile ways. question one did not pass. 70% of your fellow Massachusetts residents said, take a hike, nurses. We're not going to give you mandatory staffing levels.
So actually, when we were discussing...
70%. We were told going into this it was neck and neck.
It was no.
It was on neck and neck. It was a blowout.
I feel bad because my favorite cousin Heather and my mother were both yes on this issue. But after extensive research and soul searching and whatever.
You realize you didn't like that $1 billion price tag that came with it?
I wait. Like, that's the thing, is that I had a very long conversation with my mother about it. And I was no, after doing, I was no, not just based on like, no, I, you know, I did so much research on this topic. And I had about an hour long conversation with my mother, who is a nurse, about it, and explained to her that while I understand that the idea behind it is noble, or now we can say was noble, the way that the bill was written was not conducive to the overall well-being of everybody. And that's not just the patient. It's nurses who are not in the union. It's the rest of the hospital staff, because I mean, if that were to go through, they would have to fire people to be able to hire more nurses.
And I couldn't say this on the air because our FCC license prevents us from advocating.
Hey, FCC, we love you. I haven't sworn in so long. Aren't you proud of me?
Our license prevents us from advocating or endorsing candidates or ballot questions or anything like that. But now on the other side of this, we can talk about it. Number one, never vote for legislation written by a labor union, period. Mm-hmm. That words to live by. Never vote for legislation written by a labor union. We have people that we elect to write legislation. And when they abdicate their responsibility and let unions write bills, we should put a stop to that and not reward that. I fully believe and understand that there are hospitals in this Commonwealth of Massachusetts that are overworking their nurses and that are understaffing as a way of cutting costs.
Absolutely.
That needs to be fixed immediately. This was not the right fix for that.
But this law was not the proper way to fix that.
There is more than one way of doing this. And
a bill, I'm sorry, not law.
Yeah,
bill.
There's more than one way of doing this. And forcing hospitals to go out and hire another 1,000 nurses at a cost of potentially $1 billion a year is not the solution.
Well, and like I said, that was one of my biggest, I got the chance to vote yesterday. That was going to be one of my biggest reasons to vote no, was that means they're going to cut, or like, in order to sufficiently put that through and not turn patients away, which a bill, law made in 2009 made illegal, would be to lay off orderlies, lay off hospital administration, lay off all of these people who work just as hard. And I am not negating how hard nurses work, because I grew up, my mother is a nurse and she has worked her butt off for almost 40 years.
And you don't want super tired, overworked nurses
Absolutely.
Caring for you.
And that's the thing, is that I understand.
Do you want a phlebotomist with shaky hands? No, you don't.
I understand.
Not
the,
fun.
I understand the thought process, like the gut of presenting this bill, but it's how I explained it to my mother, which by the end of the conversation, she actually almost agreed with me, was that this bill is not properly drafted to accomplish things in a way that's going to be best for everybody. And I think that if we're going to pass a law, I think that the ultimate goal, given that we're a democracy and we're supposed to be, you know, for the people, by the people, is to have it be in the best interest of the majority involved, which, again, like I said, like the nurses are not the only group that we're thinking about here with this law.
Right.
It affects everybody. Like, I mean, I'm one of the clutziest people I know. Do you know how many times I've been to the emergency room?
Just in the last 3 months? Yeah.
Shut up. But the thing is that all I can do. Ooh, nice shot. Dark just got a very good shot in the recycling bin.
No, I hit the wrong one.
Got the landfill one. Dumb. But to think that I always get way too personal on the show. I have a disorder where I have cysts on my ovaries and they sometimes explode. Totally benign, but it hurts like a bitch. And every time it happens, I have to go to the emergency room and get morphine because it's the only way that I don't literally pass out from pain.
Don't get any for your friend.
And
just keep all that morphine for yourself, Shay.
It's my morphine.
Nice. Real nice.
But the way this bill was drafted, if the hospital was understaffed, I would get turned away.
Yeah.
Which means that I would literally, and yes, it is true that they can't turn away ambulances, but every time this has happened to me, which is at this point four, I've driven myself to the hospital in extreme, like, damn, I'm never going to have kids because it must hurt worse than this, and this is the worst pain. And I would have gotten turned away. And I'd probably die in an alley. And that, the way, that's, like I said to my mom, it's not a terrible idea in its conception, but the way the bill was written does not benefit the majority. I always say, make sure the juice is worth the squeeze.
Yeah.
And that juice was not.
It is WMFO Medford. It is 91.5 FM. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. A couple of things we got to get to, and then we're going to get back into the conversation. One is, kids, it's WMFO donations drive time.
Get.
That's right. It's that time of year when we when we come and pick your pocket and say, won't you please give to help keep WMFO on the air. No, that's not why we do this. We don't do this to keep the station's on the air no matter what. All right. And if you don't feel like donating, don't donate. Like you're not. I'm still going to be here if you don't donate.
Well,
I might not be if you do. We'll get to that in a second.
Well, the funny thing is that a lot of places, a lot of organizations ask you to donate and you get nothing in return.
Right.
We give you so much in return.
We're gonna give you all kinds of stuff. See, my listeners never donate. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Come on, boo-boos.
Yeah, it's like bubbles in the think tank.
I'll keep my sexy phone sex operator voice if you donate.
Bubbles in the think tank. They've got, you know... They got all the donations here. I don't know how they do it every year because we're already almost halfway to our target.
No way.
Our target this year is $5,000. We're at $2,325 so
far. Get it.
It's pretty good. So here's the deal. Why are we even asking you for money? Like, you're a college station. Like, what, you have college money? And it's like, well,
we have a college building. That's about it.
They spent all their college money to keep me here. No. WMFO pays to keep our lights on. WMFO pays to keep a roof over our head and pays to keep the servers running. But everything else that we use to bring you this program, all of our digital equipment, all of our microphones, headphones,
I would say like this thing we're talking into right now,
all that sort of stuff, we pay for and we raise money so that we can keep this equipment up and running, so that we can get new things, so that we can give you a better WMFO experience thanks to your donations. So that's why we do this once a year, and we're looking for $5,000. I mean, come on, this isn't that bad. So
chump change, baby.
If you donate to the station, you're gonna get stuff. And these are pretty good. You can donate as little as $1. $1. You donate a buck, we're going to mention you on the air. We're going to give you a shout out. We're going to say thank you for the buck.
And that's like 1/20th of a microphone cover, which the one I'm speaking into right now, it smells a little bit like BO, so that would be very helpful.
If you donate $5, you will get the WMFO bumper sticker. I have one on the back of my car.
He does.
That I,
that's how I always know it's him.
Yeah, I proudly have it. You can see it wherever I happen to be. It is a very nice bumper sticker. It says WMFO.org and has the station numbers on it, 91.5 FM. So that's a nice thing to have. For a $10 donation, we got nothing. We had something at the $10 level last week. I guess we...
Isn't it a T-shirt?
No, it was a keychain, and I guess we ran out of the keychains.
Aw, shucks.
So
that's why you should donate faster, so we don't run out of the things that we give you.
Either that or... Yeah, nope, the $10... So, sorry. If you donate $10, you will get a bumper sticker. Maybe they'll send two. We'll send you two bumper stickers.
So you can put one on the back of your car and one on your forehead, just so you make sure that everybody knows that you love WMFO.
So the new thing that we've got here is if you donate $25, you have your choice of three different gifts. You can get the WMFO pink t-shirt or the WMFO white t-shirt. It is the same design on both t-shirts.
Wait, there's a pink one?
But there is a pink one and a white one. Guys, you want to get the pink one. Because it looks darn good. It's a nice shade of pink. And
you could give it to your girlfriend if you don't like wearing a pink shirt.
No,
because you're a man.
Guys,
and that's weird.
Guys, wear the pink shirt. I'm telling you. Ladies like the guy in the pink shirt.
I'm a lady. I'm gonna have to disagree with you. Right,
what? You're a crazy lady.
Yeah, that's totally true. That doesn't negate the fact that men shouldn't wear pink shirts.
Ladies like the guy in the pink shirt. Or if you can't decide between the pink or white shirt, or you just don't need another t-shirt, we have a coffee mug. So you can get the WMFO coffee mug. This is new. So that's a fun thing to have. For a $50 donation, you can get the WMFO tote bag.
Oh, it's a good tote bag.
Yep. It will hold records. It will hold CDs. It will hold all sorts of nice things. For a $500 donation, we don't have a $100 level anymore. We used to have all these different levels. Now we've got a few.
I mean, that's a good sign. That means that we've exhausted those levels.
Yes. For a $500 donation. And by the way, if you donate $100 and ask for the tote bag, we will send you the tote bag. You know, it's not like, oh, I donated $51, I can't get the tote bag. No, you can, just to ask us for the tote bag. But for a $500 donation, we will put your name on a plaque and put it up here in the station for all eternity. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we have to look at it.
We have plaques.
We have to look at it every day. Yeah. I'm looking at three of them right now.
They're actually right above the thermostat. And anyone who...
So we keeping it high.
No. Anyone who has ever worked in a shared space knows that the thermostat is the most popular area in the entire building. So,
oh, absolutely.
So if your name is on a plaque above the thermostat, people are going to see that, is what I'm saying. And for $1,000, you get a guided tour of the station and lunch with the e-board.
Derek, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I apologize for the ping. My sound wasn't off my laptop, but my mom just texted saying, I like a guy in a pink shirt.
See? Thank you. Thank you, Shay's mom.
Mo,
Shay's mom
gets it. Why do you have to contradict me while I am live on the radio?
You lived in California and you don't like dudes in pink shirts? Come on.
Living in California is the reason I don't like dudes in pink shirts.
Well, we're back on the East Coast. Dudes are higher quality here.
Yeah. They are, which is why they don't wear pink shirts.
All right. I'm not, you know, ladies, don't listen to Shay. Or guys, no, guys, don't listen to Shay. Ladies, don't listen to Shay.
If you're
Nobody
hot,
should listen
if,
to Shay.
If you're hot enough, I'll still like you if you're wearing a pink shirt.
What
okay.
I'm saying is no one should listen to Shay.
It's good thing that she's not your co-host.
I don't know why I put you on this program. I really don't. You come in here with these crazy talk that the pink shirt is bad on the guys. No, it's not. So for $1,000, you get lunch.
And actually, I mean, pink shirts on dudes are hot. Okay, I'm sorry. I will stop.
You get lunch with the executive board and a tour of the station. I know. Hey, if you want it, fine, you can donate.
Honestly, the graffiti in the bathroom and the Iggy Pop poster is enough to want a tour of the station.
Now, here's where this gets interesting, because the big picture, offers the special nuclear option.
No, I hate this one.
We love the nuclear option.
I did not agree to this.
If you donate,
putting that out there before
if you donate $5,000, the total amount that we're looking for, if you make a $5,000 donation to WMFO, you can take this show off the air. That's it. No more big picture ever. No more me. I'm gone. Maybe Shay can stay. You're going to have to learn how to run the board if you want to stay.
And I know how to run the board. I made a video of you showing me how to do it, and I've been studying it. But, oh, you forgot the one that I added, the $10,000 ultra super magical one, which is that if you donate $10,000, you'll get everything that Derek just mentioned, and I'll punch him in the face and break his glasses.
No, that's not, no.
Hey, I didn't agree to the $5,000 one. What makes you have the authority to not agree to the $10,000
one? Because you're not punching me in the face. That's not how any of this works.
Oh, come on, it'll be so fun.
No. No, you're not punching me in the face or breaking my glasses. I need these, even though they don't work.
I'll buy you new ones.
No, I don't want to get punched in the face. That doesn't sound like fun.
I'm not going to do it like super hard.
You can like.
And who the hell is donating 10 grand?
You can put me in one of those dunk tanks. All right. And you can put me in a dunk tank.
That sounds fun.
We'll get a dunk tank and you can dunk me.
Wait, but can it be filled with pickle juice?
Where are you going to get that much pickle juice?
I'll find it.
Fine. If you can get that much pickle juice, it's fine. Fine. For $10,000, you can dunk me in pickle juice.
Yes. Oh, my God. Someone please immediately donate 10 grand.
If you would like to donate, go to donate.wmfo.org. That is donate.wmfo.org. It's the only way to donate.